Hi, this is Frank Todaro, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
I want to grow up on Toys R Us. Get, they got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
They got the best for so much less.
You'll really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games.
It's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz.
I don't want to grow up, because baby, if I did,
I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
Once a Toys R Us kid,
always a Toys R Us kid.
Why throw away your life so recklessly?
No, Megatron, we are not throwing our lives away recklessly. You are now listening to the GeekCast Radio Network's Top 100 Toys Countdown. This will be featured on the flagship show GeekCast Radio and ToyCast.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, Eject, Operation Interference.
Slag, no, I don't think so, Soundwave. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me today is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. And from some weird hurricane tornado-filled Florida beach, it's Mr. Optimus Solo.
Ho.
Okay, he's the Thundercat today.
Unless he's calling. I said yo.
Oh, yo ho. And a bottle of rum. I could use a bottle of rum right about now. Today we're going to break down what the GCRN Top 100 Toys Countdown is going to be. We are excited to kick off our Top 100 Toys Countdown, and the very next episode you'll hear after this, we will begin revealing our numbers 100 through 76. Before we do that, though, we have some business to take care of. We have a lot of people to acknowledge and thank that help make the countdown possible. We've done 7 Top 100 Countdowns in 14 years. The grand total listening time of the completed and published podcast episodes is 88 hours, 49 minutes, and 26 seconds. And now, without any further ado, here's Optimus Solo to tell you all about the GCRN's Top 100 Toys Countdown.
That means we should hit 100 hours after this one.
Probably, yep. Dun, dun,
dun. So yeah, we came up with the idea of doing our next Top 100 Countdown on toys. We've done a lot of other things. We've done animated series and movies and TV shows and all kinds of geek-centric topics. And we have a podcast called ToyCast, but we've never done toys. So it sounded like a good idea. Stumbled across the Toy Hall of Fame a few years back. I don't know exactly how many years ago it was. And that triggered this idea, seeing which toys had been inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame. We did a special episode, I believe, on the flagship show, GeekCast Radio Network show, with DJ Valentine, I believe. And we talked about some toys and which ones were in the Hall of Fame, which ones weren't. And that triggered the idea to let's just do our own list. So that is what we have set out to do. And I'm sure we'll have lots of debates along the way of what is a toy, what isn't a toy. Which ones belong, which ones don't belong, which ones are too high, which ones are too low, and all kinds of fun stuff along the way. So we're just setting the stage today, acknowledging those that participated, asking a few maybe questions of Mike and Steve on what they think may be revealed in the countdown or not, go over how many toys got votes, things of that nature, so that way next time we're ready to just get right into the meat and potatoes of the actual list.
Absolutely.
So we had 21 lists submitted for toys. Range of people and podcasts and YouTube channels and things of that nature that have participated. So we're going to just kind of make a quick journey through all those people and thank them and acknowledge them. And then we'll continue to acknowledge their websites, their podcasts, their YouTube channels throughout the countdown. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
All right. So from the GeekCast Radio Network main hosts, co-hosts, etc., we have Steve Megatron Phillips, TFG, and Mike, and myself, obviously. We also have the comic concierge, Mr. Dan, who submitted a list. We have the former co-host of the Cinema Geeks and current co-host of the True Bromance podcast, Amanda. Then we have John from Icon Dispatch. We have DJ Valentine from the Simplistic Reviews. How would you classify Mr. Jeremy Fine, Mike?
His show is called the Hunnic Outcast Podcast.
But is he like, what do we call him? He's like a...
He's a friend of the network, yeah.
Sister show, so to speak. We have the Toy Tomb. We have super fan, Mr. Tim Silvers. We have David Baruffi, and I'll let you go through some of the websites and the YouTube stuff afterwards. We have the Matt Stewart from the Simplistic Review. So we have both DJ Valentine and Matthew Stewart. We have the TFU Info site. We have Cracktastic. We have from Toy Rewind. We have Michael, John, and Andrew that each submitted a list. We have Rodimus Primal. We have Dan from Rock Nerd. We have Ryan, the Uneven Flow, and then we have Ryan and Rachel. Where are they from again, Dan?
So Ryan and Rachel are a couple who do mostly Instagram stuff. They do Funko photography. He is Darth Ryan D on Instagram. She is Your Girl Rach. I reached out to them because ever since 2021, right before my late wife got really, really sick before she passed 2 years ago, I started, like, really getting heavy into the Funko community. I've been a Funko fan since about 2017 when I first found the Funko Pops, and somewhere around late 2020, early 2021, I started just getting into the whole Funko community, and that's how I found them, was through other Funko people on YouTube and things like that. So I wanted to reach out to them because Ryan does really, really cool Star Wars Funko Pop photography. He just posted one today of, as we're recording this, as you'll be hearing this soon-ish, he posted one today of Darth Vader where he would be facing off against Ahsoka, and I first comment on his thing, I said, you know, you really should do the other view, like what she's, you know, seeing her. So you have the photo of Darth Vader, what she sees, and we now need to see a photo of what Vader sees as far as her pop goes. He goes, that's a good idea. So yeah, that's where Ryan and Rachel are from.
Michael, John, and Andrew, I said from Toy Rewind, but I didn't give enough information for that. That's a Toy Rewind podcast. I also have a toyrewindpodcast.com. It's a trio of brothers who grew up in the 80s and 90s, and they have a show that basically talks all about toys, so they fit perfect for this countdown. Mike, go ahead with the other one.
Yeah, very cool. Obviously, Ryan the Enemy Flow Merkley, he's pretty much GCRN co-host royalty kind of thing. I've used Ryan for a lot of years now and whatever else. Rodimus Primal, big YouTuber. Very, very awesome dude. He's been on several times. Oh, you just said it before, Ryan. Dan from Rock Nerd Radio, he's cool. He's awesome. He does a whole bunch of stuff as well. And what was the other one? You just said it. Oh, my memory sucks.
TFU Info, we have...
That's Anthony Brucali, yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Cracktastic Play, yeah, Jason and the Cracktastic Plastic Crew. They are cool. They are very interesting. Not that all these people aren't interesting, but Cracktastic Plastic is cool. They are a band of brothers, literally a rock band that started their own toy podcast. It's awesome. It's hilarious. I did a Toycast Origins with Jason. He's awesome. I got to get the other three guys on at some point.
Yeah. And Toy Tomb is also a podcast all about toys. So it's a couple people talking about toys that they grew up with. And then obviously the Simplistic Reviews does a lot of pop culture geek related stuff for DJ and Matthew. So a lot of things represented. We got to get we'll put some of the other guys' information. I know David Bruffy has like a blog that we'll promote, and a couple of the other people have shows or websites that we'll put in our show notes, and we'll feature in commercials or different things throughout the time. John, from Icon Dispatch, you can talk about as well.
Yeah, I haven't had too much interaction with John, but he's really cool. I've seen some of the stuff he's done, so I'd wanted to. Basically, folks, this is 2023. We are 2 years removed from the Transformers countdown that we did back in 2021. I took that entire contact sheet and just emailed everybody, and whoever was interested was interested. What surprises me is we had 33 lists for Transformers. We only have 21 for toys.
Yeah, it's a broad subject, so maybe a little bit harder. Like with Transformers, when you do a list like that, you're going to get like the diehard fans. You can get people within the fandom, and they don't have a problem doing that. Toys, there's not a fandom for toys as much. Like it's a general topic, so it might be a little bit harder to find those people that are like diehard wanting to dig through a list of toys. But Steve put together an awesome toy catalog for us to look through, and I'm sure we'll pimp that out as much as we can. It's like looking back through an old toy catalog, but it literally consists of like almost all of the greatest toys of all time that you can kind of look through, and we have it separated into different categories, which kind of leads me to this next point. And we'll talk about how many toys got votes and things of that nature later. But we had different categories within the catalog. We had action figures, We had balls and bases and board games and books and building materials. We had cards, clothes, crafts, dolls, education, electronics, food, games, miscellaneous music, outdoors, stuffed toys, and toys with wheels. Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which categories do you think, just a kind of a general thought, which categories do you think will be most represented in the top 100?
It's probably going to be most of the boys' action stuff.
All right, so you got, like, by boys' actions, are you talking about, like, action figures?
Like, yeah, action figures, Transformers, Masters of the Universe, all that stuff, I would say. I don't know. I mean, I can just tell you by looking at my own personal list that I sent in, most of the, like, boards and balls and cards and that kind of stuff, they're all in my 100 to 50 range, whereas from 50 to number one is like all the things I remember growing up that I actually had and played with.
Okay. Steve, what do you think? What are some categories that you think will be less represented or more represented in the top 100?
I definitely think we're going to have action figures pretty heavily in there. Probably a lot of like generic play toys, kind of like Lego and, you know, kind of sport stuff, board games, things like that. I think those are going to be pretty heavily in there. I don't know if we're going to see, like, you know, stick being in the top 10 or rocks or sand, right? But it's
no
it's hard to say.
Right, it's always hard.
What I will say is that I put cardboard box at number 99 only because
oh, I put it at 10. No, I'm just playing.
Well, I put a cardboard box at number 99 because it's a Metal Gear Solid joke, because you have to use a box for Snake, Solid Snake, to hide in the Metal Gear Solid video game. So that's why.
But to be fair, you can do anything with a box.
That's right. And true. I'm telling you, my daughter plays the heck out of a cardboard box.
Oh, yeah, my son, too.
It's been a car. It's been everything. So another thing kind of along those lines, because I know we're going to have this discussion maybe multiple times throughout the countdown, depending on who the co-host guests are and which things actually come up on the countdowns. That's usually what triggers certain discussions. But I know we're going to get some comments probably on the website or whatever about what qualifies as a toy. And some people are going to say, well, that's not really a toy. This isn't really a toy, that type of thing. So I want to just touch on that real briefly. What kind of inspired the different categories that have been included and things of that nature was this Toy Hall of Fame. And what I was noticing as I was going through the National Toy Hall of Fame, which has quite a few inductees, and we'll talk about that during the podcast because I have notes on that, which ones have been nominated, which ones have been actually made it in there, et cetera. But they have a wide variety. They have the stuff like Steve was just talking about, some of the basic things like, not necessarily saying cardboard boxes in there, I got to check my notes, but stuff like that. They have stuff like that in that countdown. They have board games in that countdown. So basically the thought here is if you could play with it as a child, then we're considering it a toy. So mm-hmm. That's kind of the broad, very broad definition. And I know, especially when it comes to some of the different types of books, like coloring books, comic books, Dr. Seuss books, Where's Waldo books, like people are going to like question that, but just think it's something that a kid could spend time playing with, or looking through, or, you know, that type of thing, that entertaining children. And that's kind of the definition of a toy, is something that they play with, that entertains them, that they spend time with. So it is a very broad definition. I know some people think toys and they think, well, it's your action figures, it's your dolls, it's your cars and things like that. But we are going to be touching on possibly things like board games, books, and some other various things that might come up along the way. Mike, what do you think about our broad definition of toy?
If you can play with it, it's a toy. End of story.
There we go.
I mean,
any thoughts on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be very interested in discovering what people voted for,
and
what they considered a toy. Because I mean, what one thing that was difficult with doing my list was trying to figure out, how I wanted to categorize them and what I wanted to list, because there's so many different categories of toy.
Right. Absolutely. It just kept going. I was like, oh, there's these and there's those. Like I don't remember the exact count of the toys listed in the actual catalog, but it had to be a very large number. I'd have to look at
the index. Yeah, you'd have to look at the index. I think you said something like over 350 or 400 toys, most likely.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to...
400.
Yeah, because we needed to have that many so people could whittle down their lists to have 100 toys per list times 20 lists.
Right.
21 lists, whatever. I will say, the one thing I wanted to be able to do for my own sanity here, and luckily Steve indulged me to do it, the pictures of the Funko stuff that people will see in the catalog, those are my Funko Pops. I took those photos. I didn't want to just throw in your standard, oh, here's what the Funko Pop looks like on the Funko app. I wanted to actually say, hey, look, I collect these things. So,
for the record, Funko Pops were not in the original catalog. That was like...
I had to twist his arm. I'm like, trust me, you want these in here because, yeah.
So let's just say, just for sake of continuing here, that let's say that we had at least 400 toys listed in the catalog. We'll get the exact number before the next episode. But if we go on that hypothetical that we had 400 toys in that catalog, we had 330 toys receive a vote.
Awesome.
So 330 toys. That means there was a lot of toys that received votes out of that. So everybody has different stuff they played with or experienced, or different things they liked or didn't like. We'd have to really look. I think we have a decent age variety within the people that submitted. I don't know exactly how old everybody is, but it seems like we may have a decent, at least, age kind of.
I'd say range. So.
And, I will say that we really only had two female voices involved, Rach and Amanda, so there may be a little bit of a bias towards some of the male toys versus female toys. We'll have to see how that plays out. But I did keep track of a couple different things, and I will have stats as we kind of go through this list. One of them is, like we just said, which categories had the most, and which categories, like, oh, another discussion we'll probably have is within that category, the ranking of them. So let's say just, I don't know, for example, board games. Like, let's say, like, 6 board games or 8 board games make the countdown. I'm sure we'll have discussions on if we got it in the right order as far as which one was highest ranked versus lowest ranked just within that category. So that'll be a fun thing to keep track. Another thing that we're going to keep track of is which decade produced the most toys. Now, something that's different, because a lot of our other lists, whether it be animated series, animated movies, TV shows, things of that nature, when they were popular is when they came out. So, like, Transformers, the cartoon, came out in the 80s. That's when it was popular. Like, it's very easy to know when that... It's going to be very interesting, I think, for some of you in that are especially involved in the recording of these episodes, but probably the listeners, too, to learn exactly when some of these toys originated or came out or hit the market and things like that. So, that's going to be something that's going to be interesting. I have the pre-1900s, and then we have each decade, 1910, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90s, and then 2000s or later. So, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Which decade do you think produced the most toys that are going to actually make a spot on the land on this countdown?
Modern toy production is off the charts, but I would have to say it's probably going to be the 80s or the 90s.
Steve, any thoughts?
I'm going to kind of agree that it's probably going to be about the 80s, but some of the items may have had an origin prior to that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting thing to reveal as we go along. Some of these things are not as old as I thought they were, or much older than I thought they were. So, and then some of them are we're not going to have a specific date. That's why I just put pre-1900, because some of this stuff, like, you're not going to be able to come up with an exact date when they were invented or things of that nature, because they've been around for so long. Another thing I've done is I have taken certain companies and tracked how many toys that company produced. And I'm not talking about companies that now own the rights to them or now own the licenses to them. I'm talking about the company that was the first one that brought them to market. So these are
like LJN and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So these are the companies that I've tracked. We have Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley, Mattel, Hasbro, Ideal, Tonka, Kenner, Galoob, Takara, Coleco, Playmates, LGN, Bandai, Tyco, and Wham-O. So those are the different companies that I tracked that had at least one toy that they produced that made it on the countdown. I know what toy companies are most popular now and kind of monopolizing the space as much as possible. But again, one more time for Mike and Steve, is there a company that you think is going to dominate this countdown? Mike?
It's probably going to be a war between Mattel and Hasbro.
Steve, what do you think?
I'm thinking the same.
All right. All I'm going to say is stay tuned, because that's going to be an interesting conversation for sure. It's going to be an interesting conversation because Hasbro dominates the toy space right now, but they're not going to rank as high as you think they are. I'll just kind of give that nugget out. They do have a lot of toys that are going to be present, but it's going to be interesting when you guys see which ones reign supreme there.
Enter and Playmates.
Mike, anything, if you were to look at your own personal list of your 100 toys that you ranked,
which I am,
is there one that you're most worried about that you're in fear that it might not make the countdown that you really want to make the countdown?
Honestly, since we have so few lists, like I reached out to every single person in the Funko community that I know, and I'm like, hey, this is easy, just make a list for us. And 90% of them didn't. Sadly, I understand everybody's busy and all this and all that and everything else, but I'm really interested to see where Funko does fall, because like you said, not everyone is a Funko fan, and not everyone that contributed a list may or may not be a Funko fan, who knows. So that's going to be really interesting to see where they fall. At least I know wherever Funko does fall, as long as it does make the list, at least it won't be a debacle like Boy Meets World coming in at number 50, right, Steve?
Hey, MacGyver didn't even make the list.
Thank God.
So just a side note, in order to make the top 100, you had to average being ranked at least 83rd on every single list. So you would have had to appear on all 21 lists in the 83rd spot or higher to make the list.
On every single list?
Yeah, yes. You would have had to appear on all 21 lists at 83 as far as making the list. So that means if you didn't make all 21 lists, then somebody better have ranked you higher than 83. So that's kind of giving you the gist of like how much you would have to make the list. But there is a very small margin in between picks, I'll say that much. Like the difference between, let's even go down to like 112. Like if we take 112 and we go up to 84, it's like 40 spots, 40 points difference. So there's not a lot of points separating these until you get to the real kind of cream of the crop. Once we get into like that top 50, then you had to have a lot of points. And it was not even remotely close between the top, like there's like 100 points difference between number 5 and number 4, and over 100 points between number 4 and number 3, and like 80 or 90 points between number 3 and number 2, and 120 points between number 2 and number 1. So the top really spread out, and it was not a close race. I will say that much.
Wow.
The other thing I did was I tried to like keep track of if the toys that made our countdown also have been voted on in the Toy Hall of Fame. So I have each one marked as either a finalist or with the year that they actually were inducted. And I'd say we do a pretty good job of representing a majority of the toys that were in the Toy Hall of Fame. I mean, we don't have all of them in there, but I'd say we did pretty good at hitting the big ones. So that's going to be interesting as we kind of go through there. I also tried to keep track of which companies own the rights to them now and which country they originated in and things of that nature. So we'll have all kinds of trivia and interesting stuff to throw out along the way. Steve, anything you're most looking forward to, most worried about, most excited about, or just most interested in?
I don't know if there's anything I'm like excited or not excited for. Like I don't know what to expect.
Right.
And I did try to vote on things that I normally probably would have glossed over.
Right.
You know, personal bias. So I did try to vote on other things, even if it wasn't something that was my forte, but something that I could see being big regardless of my opinion.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting, too. And you bring up a good point of kind of like how everybody formulates their list. And I think this one's almost an easier one to do that with, because when it comes to cartoons or movies or things like that, you just have that much more of a strong bond, I think, to some of those things, or a connection to, where it's like, this is what I like and this is what I don't like. And it's hard to vote for like a TV show you don't just don't like. I think with toys, it might be a little bit easier to kind of separate yourself from there. So things I consider just personally, and then I'm interested to see what you guys kind of consider too, give you guys a chance to quickly sum that up. But things that I looked at was, number one, like, how universal is it? As far as like, it's not just for boys or just for girls. It's not just for this age or just for that age. Like, this is something that could be played with or enjoyed by anybody. So I think the more universal it was, it got a few extra points for me. Maybe the longer staying power, as far as like, I did vote on some toys that were like a fad, because just working in retail as much as I did, like, I wanted to give some points to some, like, a toy that was just like the number one toy that every single person had to have. But some of those toys don't last that long. Like, they're a fad for a year, maybe 2 or 3 years at most, and then you never hear from them again. So, and it had to be really super popular if it was going to be like kind of what I would consider like a one-hit wonder, like, to give a music reference. Like, if it was just like a flash in the pan, like, it was real good for just a short amount of time, it had to be really, really popular, because I gave a lot more points to stuff that had like just been around, it seems like, forever, and it's not going anywhere. Like, something that was popular in the 80s that is just as popular and still flying off the shelves in the year 2023 gets some extra points to me as well. Mike, what kind of things did you consider?
I wanted to, well, number one, I'm just going to give away my number one, because it's my personal list and it's my bias and it is what I currently collect, and that is Funko. Because what I love about Funko is that I can look at Batman the Animated Series, Phantasm, so the character, the Phantasm from the movie Mask of the Phantasm, I have this in my hand right now. I can look at it in the box. I can see it. I can enjoy it. If I want to take it out of the box, I can take it out of the box easily. The packaging is fine. I don't need to destroy it. That's the problem I have with a lot of the other toy companies, is their packaging is like, we really have to staple this in there, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. Whereas Funko, it's just a box you open, you close, you put it in, you take it back out, whatever. And then I went to franchises. Okay, I know technically Mask is pretty much a flash in the pan, even though it's very popular for 2 or 3 years back in the 80s. But I went to Mask, I went to Transformers, I went to Masters of the Universe, Turtles. And then I wanted to branch out. And do you want to talk about the video game thing? Because we had not an argument necessarily, but a discussion on how we were going to incorporate the video game systems.
Well, it's kind of the same, like, when you take, like, let's just start by talking, because you brought up Transformers or that. So some of those figures, take Star Wars, because it's been probably the longest running. Well, Star Wars and Barbie. Like, they've been around forever. I'm not including Barbie, because it's basically been this. I know they've had different lines, but it's not like Star Wars, where you had like the Return of the Jedi line, and then you had the Empire Strikes Back, and you've had the Phantom Menace, and you've had the classics, and you've had, so Transformers is very similar, right? There's been all kinds of different versions of that toy line. So we did not allow for multiple within the same franchise, I guess, so to speak. So Star Wars is Star Wars. Like, Star Wars action figures are Star Wars action figures. We're not differentiating between which line. It would just get too tricky to do that, and for people to differentiate that, and then our whole countdown would be various Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, like, lines. So we didn't want to do that, so that's all-encompassing. So we figured the same formula was fair to also do with electronic toys. So instead of having Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube, Nintendo 64, the Wii, the Switch, all be able to be landing in our countdown,
Nintendo.
It's just Nintendo. It's just Nintendo, or it's just PlayStation, or it's just Sega, or things of that nature. The exception is, because a console is different than a handheld, that we did make room for, say, Game Boy, or like any other handheld versions of some of those other companies, like the PSP or things of that nature could have got in there. But otherwise, for like just the actual console, it was just Nintendo or just PlayStation, things of that nature. Same thing, we kind of treated the same thing with some of the other electronics when it comes to like pinball. We're not going to pick a specific pinball machine. We're not going to pick a specific arcade game. It's just arcade games or pinball games and things of that nature. So as much as we could, same with like baseball cards. Like, we're not going to differentiate between one set of baseball cards and another set of baseball cards from different companies. It's just baseball cards. So we tried to do that as much as we could to add diversity into the list and to make it easier for people who are voting. Cause also for me compiling, like, I don't want to try to figure out, like, were you voting for Transformers or Alternators or
Bobots?
Which line were you talking about? Like, it would have made it too difficult. So that's kind of how we decided to go with that.
I also sprinkled my list with a lot of like classic stuff like Goldfish or playing cards or some board games, Mousetrap, that kind of stuff.
Did you have a limit? Because like for me, what I decided to do with certain topics is put a limit on it. Like for board games, like I only allowed myself to vote for X number of board games. I would have to look back to see like what number it was, but that's something that I used to try to help narrow my list down was like, you know, let's say I had 110 or 120 possible and I only have 100 spots. It was like, well, I already have, let's say, 10 board games. So maybe this number 11th board game I'm going to leave off. Did you do anything like that or something where like one toy canceled another toy out?
No, not really. I went through the entire catalog and see what I do is I know sometimes you'll do like, oh, here's my top 150 and then you'll cut 50 out to make your... I start at 100 and I go to 1. If I go to 101 to 101, 151, that's just going to create more choice for me. So I start my list every time we do any of these things at 100. And then whatever doesn't fit within that 100 where I don't feel like I want to rank them, then they just get cut and I find something else.
Something that would be easy to do, and this is what Amanda did, was just take the guide and basically flip through, and whether you're circling them, highlighting them, writing them on a piece of paper, or typing them on a computer, it was like, start just signaling which ones you think are ones that you would consider for top 100, and then once you get through the catalog, you count up what you have, and you see if you need to add or subtract some. So usually it ends up being pretty close. Like, you do that count, like, first time through, and like, oh, I have 110, so I only have to cut 10 out. Or, oh, I have 95, I got room for 5 more. So, and then... obviously, everybody has a different strategy once you have your 100 for ranking them. But go, keep going.
My top sit, well, number 10 through number 6 actually surprised me. They don't surprise me, but like my number 10 is the only board game I actually still have it somewhere around here. It's not the original one. I'm not going to give it away. But like that's, I'm not giving away anything. But that's like, oh, it's because of that thing, the reason why that board game is there kind of thing, or the fact that we all used to play with Silly Putty or Slime or whatever. Like, I didn't, because we were thankfully, thank God, because if we did what you had already said, it would just be a nightmare for you, for us, for everybody. God, we went with toy action figure franchises and not the lines, because like you said, everything would just, like, no.
So, it would snowball into your favorite line.
Very much so. And thankfully, because we didn't allow that to happen, my list has so much more on it than I think it would have if we had done it the other way around.
Well, like mine, I would have had Beast Wars, you know, or War for Cybertron or Legacy or, you know, things like that to list the figures I have, or like, you know, TransArt Toys for the, you know, Beast Wars, or for the Lightning Collection for Power Rangers, or, you know, it would get very complicated very quickly with the amount of different, not only publishers of the products, but the different lines in each product, you know, each franchise. So it's beneficial. I think it made it easier to rank because you were like, it's all encompassing. So no matter what, it's representative of your one thing, and so you were able to move on much quicker to other notable Hall of Famers,
right,
for the top 100. And like for my list, I kind of whittled it down to about 120, and then I kind of, because some of them I'll start ranking and I'm like, I don't know, and I'll swap them out with a different one. So, but I usually start with my top 25, where I'm like really like pinching numbers here and trying to figure it out. And then I finally make the decision to do, you know, the 26 through 50. And then I go through the next batch. And then some of them I'm like, I really don't care. They're kind of a blip. I'll throw them in the last 25.
Right.
And kind of, you know, maneuver them based on that. But the rest of them, like the top 75 for the most part, are like very highly thought out of, you know, their prominence and how well I like them combined.
Yeah. I found.
Say I did that with. Sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
I just said I found something that always is helpful for me. Like once I have the 100, is I always just start cutting them in half. So it's either like you're in the top half or you're the bottom half.
Yep.
And then once I have that, then I take that half, and then I'm like, okay, you're either in the top half or bottom half of this. Like keep trying to like make that cut. So it's just a one. It's just an either or decision, and it seems to help out a lot. I'm gonna give before you go, Mike. And with your next thought, I'm just going to give one couple other stats out there. And that's last stats I'll do for today. I will say that we have three people's number one toy that are not going to make the countdown at all. We have two people's top 100 that are going to be revealed before we get to the top 25. And then we have... all other 14, I think it's like 14, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16. 16 people's number one are within the top eight.
Wow. So
it was a consensus with some of these number one picks. And I will also say that there was only one toy that made all 21 lists. So
that's amazing.
Every other that's toy awesome. Was left off of at least one, if not more, list.
Nice.
What was your other thought there, Mike?
Oh, well, I mean, again, just variety. You know, like, seriously, I'm looking at my list, and I'm not going to give you numbers, but I'll give you names, like Lightbright, or My Buddy, or the Alf talking stuffed toy that I grew up with, or Viewmaster, or Uno, or, like you said, baseball cards, or any sports cards, or whatever, like Slinky, you know, water balloons, all this stuff. It's just, you know, once you get the franchises as the franchise, it's stuff with the action figures. You're then left to do whatever you want. And how I usually do it is I will get 100 to 90 out of the way first because I know it's all the ones I think deserve to be somewhere on the list, but they're not my top. You know, again, I said cardboard box was number 99 only because of in Metal Gear Solid, blah, 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 blah. Number 100 for me was Barbies because I'm a guy, I was a boy, didn't play with Barbies, wasn't my thing, whatever, but I recognize the fact that it should be on my list somewhere kind of thing. And then the rest of it, once I got to, I think, the top 30, those were the ones where I really narrowed, like, okay, I want this at 30, I want this at 25, I want this at, and then I hit the top 11 and I'm like, that's easy. I know, like, I know what my top 11 toys are going to be immediately, yeah. Kind of thing. So,
I tried to weigh mine. I tried to weight them because, like, certain action figure franchises, like, I could have easily listed them all in my top
right.
15 to 20. I tried to find other items to spread them out. Because I'm like, am I looking at it through a lens of somebody who is a super fan, or am I looking at it from the lens of, you know, just the grand scheme of things? And some of them, you know, I tried to space out some of them despite wanting to put them higher.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because Mike, you said the word diversity. I said I wasn't going to add any more stats, but it made me stats. So
it's okay.
You said diversity. So of our categories within our catalog, I will say that only two categories have no representation. So every other category got at least one toy into the countdown. I will say that we at least have 12 different toy companies that have at least two entrants. And then I will also say that out of all of the decades, there's only one decade that is not represented as far as producing a toy that made the countdown. And that does not count anything 2010 or forward, because it's just hasn't been enough time. So if we take 2000s all the way back, there's only one decade that didn't produce a toy that made our countdown. So I think that reeks of diversity. Like we have almost all the different decades accounted for. We have almost all of the categories we included in the catalog accounted for, except for two. And we have a lot of toy companies accounted for. So it's going to be.
So are you going to tell us that one now, or are you going to make us wait?
Which decade?
Yeah.
The 1920s. Do not.
Oh, well, I mean, come on.
Great Depression. Like, okay. They're too busy kicking a can. Like,
right. So nothing from the 1920s, but everything else is represented. And I'm not going to tell you which categories in our catalog do not.
No. That's no.
That'll be interesting to have everybody screaming and complaining.
That's right.
So that's all the stats I got for you. I'm ready to start revealing. I don't know about you guys. It's going to be fun.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be so much fun. And yeah, everybody's always complaining about anything the Geekcast Radio Network does. Hey, at least they're talking about us. So there's that. Any final thoughts, Steve?
At least it's not an IGN list.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's true. That's the other part of what, Kev?
I just listened to like the finale for some reason that we did of our top 100 television series. Don't ask me why. I just decided to throw it on, and I listened to it like just within the last week. So it got my appetite ready for this.
That's the other.
It almost begs the question: do we need an update?
Yes.
No, not on first, TV. First not yet.
Animated series, and animated movies got to come first.
Yeah, we gotta get, if we're really gonna go back to the well and repeat ourselves, even though I repeat myself a lot.
Gotta go back to the beginning.
We gotta go back to the beginning. I'm not doing TV series until probably 2025. There has to be at least a good decade between countdowns.
Gotta let the nostalgia wear off.
But hopefully we'll be able to release all these right in the Christmas season. So as people are looking at their own toy catalogs and unwrapping their own toys for their kids, probably, or grandkids or whoever.
Or themselves.
Toy catalogs, those still exist? Really?
Yeah, they do. My daughter was just looking through, like, I don't know if it was a Target or something. They put out a toy catalog, and she was certain.
Amazon and Walmart still put them out.
Yeah, So I think Target, Amazon, and Walmart at least.
Ain't nothing like the old Sears Wish Book and JCPenney toy catalogs, folks.
But they went the way of the dodo.
Well, yeah, but still.
Same thing with Toys R Us, except they exist as a little shelf in Macy's.
This is the saddest representation I've ever seen in my life. It's depressing.
If you go to Canada, there are actual Toys R Us.
Yeah, but the version of Toys R Us is ridiculous.
Yeah,
oh no, absolutely, 100%.
It's like Macy's has this thing, you know, they've got them on a chain, and they're like, sell the toys. You can bring the children's.
It's so funny because a lot of stuff we grew up with, because we, okay, so for the listeners, because we all know the information I'm about to give out. I was born in 80, Kevin was born in 81, and Steve was born in 86. So between the three of us, we are 80s and 90s kids. In the 80s and 90s, it was all about Sears or JCPenney or Toys R Us or, in my case in New England, Child World, which was a local store for there kind of thing. Now, you only really see toy stores if they are run by geeks or run by, you know, privately. Like, you don't see a big box toy store hardly anywhere. And that's one of the coolest things that I'll come back around really quick and mention about Cracktastic Plastic. One of the cool things about their show is every episode they spotlight an individual toy store most of the time. It's so cool. You guys should check them out. They're awesome. But yeah, I know this countdown is going to be one of the most interesting ones I think we've done to this point. Anything else before I throw it to an ad break, guys?
Nope.
All right. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind. I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, ninny-bong.
Hey, guys. It's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com. every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
Just an old guy talking about old toys. It's me, Willie, from the Toy Tube Podcast. I talk about toys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, few 90s. And some mixtures of other toys in there as well. If you'd like to hear me talk about some old toys in podcast form, I'm available on Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Just like an infectious earworm, I'm all over the place. If you like to see videos on old toys and old retro games, check out my YouTube channel at Arcade USA. Thanks for listening.
Want to learn a bit about the Transformers? Think you know everything about Cybertron, but are looking to learn a little bit more? Enroll today at Transformers University Podcast. Each episode will tackle a piece of Transformers history, starting in 1984 and marching our way up to today. Hosted by me, Anthony Brutale, three-time Emmy Award winner and consulting producer on Netflix's The Toys That Made Us, and lifelong Transformers fan, we'll go on a journey through cartoons and comics, toys and movies, and all the weird esoterica from around the world, chronicling the adventures of everyone's favorite robots in disguise. Listen to Transformers University on iTunes, Google, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Transform and roll out!
Do you ever catch yourself wondering about those old retro and classic toys you grew up with? Maybe reminiscing about the amazing toys you received for your birthdays or Christmases. Yeah, we do too. So we created a podcast to talk all about those amazing toys. Catch the Toy Rewind podcast each week as the brothers Newland discuss and learn the history behind some of the best toys from years past. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Also, be sure to check out ToyRewindPodcast.com for more content about those classic toys you love.
Give me a hell yeah! I thought that's what you would say.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers!
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe!
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Hey, toy fans, this is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at Geekcast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks. Top 100 Toys Countdown coming soon to the Geekcast Radio Network. Part 2, numbers 1 through 76 will be coming soon. So come on, everyone. Get your toys out of those toy boxes and get ready because in Part 2, as I mentioned, 176. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Steve Megatron
and Optimus Solo.
We're going to close out with a classic toy commercial. Catch you next time, everybody.
We're hungry!
Play Hungry Hungry Hippos!
Fun, 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 fun!
They're hungry, hungry hippos!
It's a wild, wild race! Feed your hippos faith!
They're hungry, hungry hippos!
It's Hungry Hungry Hippos! Whoever gobbles up the most marbles wins!
You better eat fast, that food won't last!
They're hungry, hungry hippos!
It's fun, 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 fun!
They're hungry, hungry hippos!
Hungry Hungry Hippo from Milton Bradley.
Don't touch!